Hey guys, this is Matt Norlander, co-host of the Eye on College Basketball podcast with Gary Parrish. We are part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, and College Hoops is turning toward what's going to be a phenomenal March. So be sure you are tuned into the show. We're going to be publishing at least four shows every week. Follow and listen to Eye on College Basketball free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. March is coming.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Spring starts at the Home Depot, and we are bringing the heat to your backyard this season. Fire up the flavor with our wide variety of grills for under $300, like the Next Grill 4-Burner Gas Grill that's perfect for hosting your spring cookout. Then set the scene and turn your outdoor space into the go-to spot with patio sets for every budget. Bring it this season with grills that deliver flavor and patios that set the vibe from the Home Depot. Start your spring with low prices guaranteed at the Home Depot. Exclusions apply. See homedepot.com/pricematch for details.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
What's the reason, Duck? It's here.
With your hosts.
Love these guys.
Dan Wiederer.
The whole key to sustaining success in this league is to have quarterback play that is top tier and can consistently push you down those roads.
And Mark Grody.
We're allowed to, at this point, Bears fans are allowed to right now, dream big and predict what you want out of the season.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome in to the Take the North podcast. Our leader and one of our founding fathers of the Take the North podcast, Dan Wiederer, is off, well-deserved, because that guy does everything. So I do hope for his sake that he has shut the world down and he will return to Take the North in our next week's episode. But in his place, I personally would not have it any other way. He is the former Chicago Sun-Timesman, Mark Potash, who, of course, runs his own show now on markpotash.net. Potsy, thanks for coming back on Take the North. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Mark. You know, it's funny, you know, you and Dan both have like four or five jobs, but he always looks like he's working for a living, and you look like you're always just coasting through life, just having a good time. Look at you. You were wearing a shirt the other day. It must have been, it was a score shirt. It had to be brand new because it's 104 birthday. It looked vintage on you. You just exude just casual, cool, just coasting through life. I love that about you.
That's hilarious. For people who don't know, you know, obviously Mark Potash in the Bears media room for years and years and years. And what Mark would always say to me, and I think I took it as a compliment, I think, because you'd always say, you always look, me talking about me, I always look like I had a good time the night before and like I won't be able to get it together. And then all of a sudden, magically, I'm in there performing in the locker room.
That's the old Herb Gould line on Nick Friedel.
That's a good comp.
You know, we covered the Bulls for a long time in the Tibbs era. And, you know, Nick is like, he's a great guy. He does a great job, but he always looked a little disheveled, but always in a good mood. So Herb said one night we were on the road somewhere. He comes in there and Herb says, you know, you look like you always look like you had a good time last night. And that is Nick to a T, and you're very much the same way.
That is hilarious. I am Baby Friedel. I don't know that I could say I've had as good of a time as Nick Friedel.
Nick's the best.
Right. Then the absolute best. He is terrific in all of his jobs and his days at ESPN and obviously The Athletic and covering the NBA. He tells it like it is, as do you. That's another one of the reasons why I like having you on.
He bonded very well in those years for you.
Yeah. I actually remember Nick Friedel popping up at a couple of Bears practices because they sent him out there. Like they gave him a reprieve from the Bulls and came out during a couple of random training camp practices once upon a time ago. Those were the days, man. Well, there is some big NFL news that has occurred in the last 24 hours. And that is that we have a new highest paid wide receiver of all time in the NFL. And this comes up at seemingly at every single position. Doesn't matter what position it is. Somebody's always got to one up the next guy. That gentleman is of the Seattle Seahawks, the world champion Seattle Seahawks. Jackson Smith and Jigba gets a 4-year, $168 million deal with the Seahawks. He is the highest paid wide receiver now in NFL history, surpassing Jamar Chase. For all you math fans out there, that comes out to about $42 million per year. So that is what it is. I think he deserves it. He is young, he is up and coming, and he is a skilled wide receiver, maybe not in the exact mold of some of the guys that came before him. But I kind of wanted to pair that up with the Chicago Bears wide receiver situation, which I would say right now is good in terms of the talent that you have, Luther Burden and Roma Dunze mainly, now that DJ Moore is gone. But I guess my question to you in the conversation piece is, Mark, of the receivers, and we could throw Colson Loveland in there too, because he is, generally speaking, a receiver of the subset of being a tight end. Like, I'm not like necessarily asking the question, can any of those guys get to the $168 million mark? But will one of those guys, and it's a huge year for Roma Dunze, eventually separate themselves as a 1,200-yard rusher receiver in the league? Somebody to be a top option, a wide receiver one on this team, because that has not happened yet. And even last year, it really didn't happen, although it was very promising.
Well, I think anything can happen in Ben Johnson's offense. So, I mean, they can create that guy. He did in Detroit. But Ben Johnson's offense also, spreads it around a lot, too, and can create that situation as well, where your tight end, it might be your best receiver. So, you know, a lot of times it's like, you know, when Jair Alexander signed a big contract, we all went to Jalen Johnson and said, hey, what do you think about that? You know, he smiles and things like we do things. There's no real concern at this point in time. Roma Dunze is just not close to being there at this point. So it's not like a cautionary tale, like, wow, here's where you're gonna have to pay up or whatever. You know, great contract and he earned it. But as it pertains to the Bears, I'm not sure if it has quite as much immediate relevance right now, but your point is well taken. This offense, like I said, I'm just a big believer in Ben Johnson and this offense and anything can happen. So you kind of hope it will, but I think the tight end and just that the tight end now seems like their best receiver might be. That tells you right there how things can get kind of spread out a little bit, and you won't necessarily have like an Amon-Ra St. Brown situation in Chicago. And frankly, Odunze's just hasn't taken the steps here. The jury's still out on him as far as being a top flight receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, and to your point too about the, you know, the receivers all having similar numbers last year, it may not be the worst thing in the world, because the idea, one of the ideas of a Ben Johnson offense and subsequently Caleb Williams, who's the man throwing the ball to these receivers, hey, spread it out. If you can get, like you had last year, here it is, Luther Burden, 47 catches, 652 yards, and two TDs. Roma Dunze, 44 catches, 661 yards, six touchdowns. DJ Moore, and I know he's not here anymore, DJ Moore, 50 catches, 682 yards, six TDs. And then Colston Loveland had, I don't have his numbers right in front of me, but over 700 yards to lead all receivers on the team. That, like, if you could master that and maybe get another guy that has the 600, you know, five, you know, maybe it's Khalif Raymond, you know, who's going to give you probably 300 yards. It's not the worst thing in the world to not necessarily have the guy that has the 1300 yards. It'd be nice. And then the sort of vindictive part of it is, if you don't have one guy that's putting up these blast numbers, maybe you don't have to pay somebody $168 million to a wide receiver market that obviously is being highly paid and justifiably so, considering this NFL.
Absolutely. I think that's kind of part of the plan. I mean, until further notice, Ben Johnson is the star of the Bears offense. I mean, he makes everyone else better at this point. Towards the end, there were a couple moments where Caleb Williams made him a better coach in the playoffs.
And he admitted it, too.
There were a couple of moments where you could see that happening, and he could do that thing that Mahomes did for Andy Reid. But until that happens on a consistent basis, right now Ben Johnson is the star of the Bears offense, and that's why you don't worry about a Bradberry replacing a Dahlman or anything, or a Braxton Jones giving it another shot at left tackle or any of that stuff, because his history in Detroit and even in Chicago, so even after just 1 year, is that he makes it work.
Jahdae Walker last year is a popular name. I mean, like, it's classic because guys like that who are promising, Jahdae Walker has not been exposed yet. When I say that, on a regular basis, he was on the roster this year, but barely on the roster this year because he didn't start getting into games until the end. And he obviously had a couple of huge catches, including a big touchdown at the end. But it's pretty funny because when I am the least bit concerned about Jahdae Walker getting more or being a real part of this team, the pushback is immense, because we all love, and I don't know if it's Chicago specific, maybe the backup quarterback mentality, the things that we don't know, we seem to have bigger opinions on how good they can be. And Jahdae Walker was a popular guy in the locker room, a popular guy in training camp. He had some nice training camp games. Obviously he made the team. He's a root for it story. But Mark, I don't know how you feel. I don't know. When we look beyond the wide receivers that we just talked about, beyond that, do you think that Jahdae Walker is ready for the full boat, that you could just look at the roster and say that you add him, you add Khalif Raymond, and the wide receiver room is set? Because some people actually think that. I don't happen to be one of them. I think they need more. What do you think?
Well, I'm not ready to say that he's ready to break out or whatever, but I am ready to say I sure want to see if it can happen in a Ben Johnson offense. I keep repeating myself, but that's a game changer. That's the thing that the Packers always do, the 49ers always do, and the Rams always do. They find some guy like the Bears did with Menungai, and who's, you know, running back, and they turn him into a star or not a star, a productive player. And so Jahdae Walker, he's absolutely a candidate. The difference is, like, 5 years ago or 10 years ago, you were thinking that guy would be like your number one guy. You know, now you just, if he's just a complimentary guy, that's good. That's why everything's changed. We used to crowd around Dontrell Inman. Remember, that might be before your time.
No, it's not.
He was a good receiver, but he got a hero's welcome when he came into that locker room. I'll never forget it, because I remember I took a picture of all the media around him. then I got called on it by Bears Media Relations for taking a picture in the locker room. My point was, I just want to take a picture of all this huge crowd around Dontrell Inman, just to illustrate just how desperate the Bears always are for receivers. I only bring that up because I think the dynamic, the whole, the context of everything has changed. And now, it'd be nice if you were worked out. But boy, you're not depending on it. It almost doesn't matter. You know, I mean, you know, you have so many other options to go to in a Ben Johnson offense. It changes everything he changes everything for the Bears. That's obvious.
Yeah. How about this for a name? You say Dontrell Inman. Inman. Yeah. How about I raise you a Josh Bellamy? Josh Bellamy. Remember Josh Bellamy?
Well, yeah, I do remember Josh Bellamy. In fact, Josh Bellamy is kind of indicative of something that's been very curious about this offseason as far as, you know, the Bears, because the Bears, this has been a weird offseason as far as I'm concerned. For a team that's coming off a rejuvenating season, it usually lifts everybody up and everybody becomes more valuable and everybody, you know, it's hard to keep guys. And the Bears have had like no bump whatsoever. Not only do they lose Dahlman, who left for whatever reason, when they're about to, you know, enter this great window, but also guys like Byard and Brisker it's one thing to lose them, but you're losing them for contracts that the Bears should have been able to match. So the only reason I bring that up, because in 2018, you didn't see that. In 2018, you had guys like Adrian Amos, who signed a big contract with there was a bump from that season. And one of the bumps was Josh Bellamy getting a 2-year, $20 million contract with the Jets. So, that was a guy who, to your point, Mark, that was a guy who the 2018 season lifted him up and made him a lot more valuable than perhaps he was. And we haven't, for some strange reason, we have not seen that. I know a lot of that is on defense, but the Bears defense, while it wasn't statistically good, it was still in reality, it was good enough. And you would think guys would get, would get that bigger bump, but they really haven't. So I know I took you off track there, but you got me.
No,
I just thought it was an interesting comp from 2018. Because that was proof how in the offense, which really wasn't that good, was not the star of the show in 2018. Even offensive guys were benefiting from that bump that the Bears got for making the playoffs. Now there's been no real bump. I mean, I think you guys pointed out before, sorry to run on here, but
no, it's okay.
DJ Moore for the 60th pick of the draft and Jaylen Waddle for the 30th and a fourth round.
Now, yeah.
Even if you acknowledge that Waddle is a better receiver at this point in time, way too big a disparity. Why you would think the Bears got coming off that season would be a lot more valuable, but again, he's not. That is kind of what's one of the surprising aspects of this offseason is how they just really, you know, they really haven't gotten the bump that teams that have the arrow pointing up like they do usually get.
But I love this topic actually, because we kind of knew that about the defense, that there was a little bit fraudulent, I suppose, because turnovers are fun. Turnovers are a blast. But the rest, you look at the rest of the numbers on the defense this year, and I think they were 27th against the run, 22nd against the pass. Yeah. And while you did have Byard leading the league in interceptions, Nashawn Wright was fantastic this year with the turnovers and the fumble recoveries. Jaquan Brisker, who had his best game, saved his best for last against the LA Rams, but Nashawn Wright got what? $4.5 million. Jaquan Brisker, $5.5 million with the Steelers, a 1-year deal for Kevin Byard. So like while we didn't really expose much of that this year because it was such a great ride, I think anybody who's a Bears fan and really who is looking at it realistically without just going all, fanboy on it, you had to know that there were some real issues with the defense that really, and I'm calling out the secondary right now, but it's that defensive line. So we kind of knew that, but it's a great point by you. The rest of the league was, as we say around here at the Score, was not out of town stupid. They knew what was going on. Right.
And I guess the point is the league usually isn't that smart. Somebody usually bites on guys like that, especially Byard, who's, that mystifies me. He got a decent contract, I guess, but not what I thought he would. And the Bears certainly could have matched it. And why the Bears did not bring back either Byard or Brisker is Nebraska. I mean, they know more about their defense than I do, but that is mystifying because those are two leaders. And I know we're getting off topic here.
No, but those they didn't want Brisker back. Byard, I believe they may have made an earnest effort. I don't think they $5.5 million. They could have brought that guy back twice.
It's we'll see what happens. But I guess my only point about those two guys, they provided the leadership that supposedly was the reason why Ben Johnson's here and why Matt Eberflus is not. That was the big issue.
Yeah.
The leadership. And those were the two guys. Now, that's because of Byard. You didn't notice as much with Brisker, but I did. I saw that guy. I think he could have really emerged as a much bigger leader without Byard here. And I think he's the guy who really wanted to be a leader. He was the one guy in the Eberflus era who really wanted to be a captain, wanted to be a leader.
Yeah.
He was the guy who always stood up and was, wanted to be the guy who spoke for the team and so after bad games and things. And that, to me, there's value in that. I mean, there was when the Bears were bad, so why isn't there value in that now? So, hey, it's Ryan Poles' show. I'm sure he knows that he needs the leadership thing and performance factor in letting those guys go. But it is kind of interesting. Another thing is just how many of Poles' own guys are that he's lost faith in. Brisker, guys he brought in, Brisker, Byard, Billings, Moore, Edmonds. I mean, these are his guys, and a lot of them you would think are keepers. But I think that's probably that's the Ben Johnson effect. The Bears have, I had it here somewhere. The Bears only have 28 players from the 80 guys that they had on their roster when Ben Johnson was hired.
That's amazing. It's its own little version of a rebuild.
That's like GM. That's like new GM turnover. And that's the point. The GM seems to be Ben Johnson more and more because there's more and more turnover of the roster on both sides of the ball, especially in offense. And you're seeing that's, to me, I don't know how it compares to other new coaches, but to me, that's a lot of turnover in your roster after just one complete regular season. And so you're seeing a big change. So I have no idea what's happening on defense. You trust that Dennis Allen is, obviously an accomplished guy and knows what he likes. But something for Bears fans, it's always, I think it's always kind of risky when you're getting guys just for a certain guy's off defense or offense. It's like the old Greg Olson thing, that's an extreme, where you get rid of a guy because it doesn't fit Mike March's offense. And then all of a sudden March is gone. And you could have used Greg Olson. So all I'm saying is when you pick guys just for one guy's defense, so maybe this guy will be like Spagnuolo and he'll be here for 7-8 years, who knows, but he might not be. So you don't know. So I guess all I'm saying is I'm just curious about those moves because you're letting go of guys who were clearly productive players, and maybe one guy had age, one guy had health, maybe there were issues, but those are productive players, and you feel like you've upgraded from there. I think you do. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm really curious about what happens in 2026 on defense to see just how right they were to let go of those guys and bring in new guys when they could have afforded the other guys.
Baseball is back, and the first pitch is on Netflix. The New York Yankees, led by 7-time All-Star Aaron Judge, head to the San Francisco Bay to take on Rafael Devers' San Francisco Giants. This season kicks off with one exclusive opening night game. Watch MLB Opening Night, the New York Yankees versus the San Francisco Giants, live on Netflix. Tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific.
I'm Sarah Turney.
And I'm Courtney Nicole.
We're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, The Final Hours.
Crime has impacted both of our families, teaching us how the last conversations, the missed red flags, can change everything.
On The Final Hours, we examine the moments before a disappearance and the questions that never got answered. A podcast that puts the moments before a disappearance under a microscope.
Listen to and follow The Final Hours, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Score more with the college-branded Venmo debit card and earn up to 5% cash back with Venmo Stash. Got paid back? With the Venmo debit card, you can instantly access your balance and spend on what you want, like game day snacks, gear, tickets, and more. The more you do, the more cash back you can earn. Plus, there's no monthly fee or minimum balance. Sign up now at venmo.com/collegecard. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Select schools available. Venmo Stash terms and exclusions apply at venmo.me/stash terms. Max $100 cash back per month.
My day kicks off with a refreshing Celsius energy drink. Then straight to the gym. Pre-K pickup, back home to meal prep. Time for my fire station shift. One more Celsius, gotta keep the lights on. When the 3-alarm hits, I'm ready. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Well, and that, you know, brings us to the draft, where if we're talking about the defense right now and the guys that they brought in last year, who at this point look like they are just costing money because they didn't really contribute in earnest last year. And those are Grady Jarrett, who I like having in the Bears locker room. Talk about leaders. Like, he may take on a bigger role as a leader as if he wasn't last year. Dio Odengbo, who was injured, and it was a serious injury from which I don't know if he is going to completely recover. They drafted Shamar Turner. So they are stuck in a position where we're talking about Ryan Poles and his drafting and what kind of help he is getting. This is a huge draft for Ryan Poles as it pertains to the defense and the safety position and the holes, and maybe even a linebacker, Potsy.
Yeah, it's that's kind of they're kind of stuck a little bit. You made a good point on the previous episode, but also here, that they're kind of stuck in between because they're having to address their three needs are like defensive line, defensive tackle, defensive end, and left tackle. Those are, like you say, those are three areas they addressed last year. And the left tackle is a little different situation because you do have Tripillo and he should be back. But the other two, now here's the thing though. In Poles' defense, we don't know Shamar Turner and Odengbo. They're not. We can't judge them just based on what they did this year. They could still work out. They're both young enough, obviously.
Agreed.
And they'll be in defense in the second year that they could still work out. He's a great guy to have on your team, but I was skeptical of that when they signed him because I didn't think anyone else really wanted him. And I just don't think he's the same player he was with the Falcons. But he's a good guy to have. He's a good guy. He's a good leader.
Knee issue last year too. So yeah, the aging veteran who was a bit banged up. You're right. His value might be higher as a leader than on the field. And that's not why they bought him.
Yeah. Always kind of a shaky thing. But anyway, we don't know that. So there's, so he still has that to lean on. Those cards are not, they're not discards. You know what I mean? They're still there and they can still be played and it still might work out. I mean, Turner being moved to defensive end just before they kind of snuck that in there. That's kind of a red flag. You know, that's like when the cornerback moves to safety, that never works out. Although it did for,
Kobe Bryant.
So maybe who knows? So it does happen. But in general, that was a red flag to me when he didn't work out. He was injured. He didn't get. But anyway, I still say, despite that, let's see what happens. You know, Dennis Allen, pretty accomplished guy. I think they seem to know what fits their defense best. They made the most of it last year because that could have been a disaster last year. I think that gets overlooked just how bad that could have been without some really guys filling in. And unfortunately, guys like C.J. Gardner-Johnson, it's funny how it typifies the Bears situation because when he first came in, he was a lightning bolt as far as helping the team. But towards the end, you could see, that susceptibility, that vulnerability and coverage, right? It became, you saw that more and more. And then you realize now we really can't keep this guy. He's just, this is why the Texans got rid of him or whatever. So they have an interesting situation on defense, but because they have addressed it. But those guys, I don't think you can count them out either. I'm talking specifically about Odengbo and Shamar Turner. And so let's see what happens. So as it pertains to the draft, how do you know a newcomer, unless he's the 25th pick in the draft, is going to be better? So you don't know,
It's but
let me
tough,
say this,
man.
Though, Mark. Let me say one thing, though. All these things we're talking about, because I this is kind of a theme of whenever I talk Bears is – no matter what happens, we've talked a lot about defense and things like that. I'll be honest, in my opinion, no matter what happens on defense, the 2026 season is almost, not totally, but mostly predicated on the year two progress of Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams, and the offense. If that doesn't happen, you've got a problem. If it does happen, you can live with Deo Odengbo at defensive end because you're going to be able to win games 47-42 more often. You know what I'm saying? So everything about the Bears offseason, I know you guys have really broke it down a lot, you know, with the draft, free agency, everything. But I'm telling you, to me, it's simple. Everything's about the offense taking the next step in year two. If it happens, that's gonna make a lot of these issues that we're talking about on defense maybe not moot so much, but just not as big a deal as they are, because this is an offensive, this team is built around its offense, and year two should be a pretty big step for both the quarterback and the offense, even bigger than they took in year two in Detroit, because in Detroit they already had the veteran quarterback. So you started at a much higher level. Here you're at the beginning. You're still near the ground floor. You got a lot of room for big improvement. That doesn't mean it's going to happen, but we're not used to talking like this in Chicago, but there's an expectation there and not just a hope. And I think that's the key to the whole offseason is the Bears. Everything you talk about, it all comes down to second year progress of this offense.
Yep. Yeah. They could be. I mean, that is the idea that hopefully, and this is what elite quarterbacks do and good quarterbacks do. If there are holes on your roster, they can make up for those holes. It doesn't always mean that you're winning or going to the Super Bowl, but it sure helps. And it's possible, ladies and gentlemen, that the Bears have somebody like that. It's kind of funny. We had on the Score last week, we had on Mike Sando of The Athletic, who on a yearly basis does his quarterback tiers list, which is based on scouting knowledge and other GMs and a whole equation of the five different tiers, one being the best, five being the least desirable. Last year, you had Caleb Williams in that. This is 2025. Make sure that if you're listening, 2025, because we did this a little bit on the Score and people got conflated with this year. Last year, going into the year, he was the number 23 quarterback out of 34 quarterbacks that Mike had on his list. And that put him in what is considered tier three of five. The top tier last year, and probably will be similar this year, is Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Jared Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Matthew Stafford. Tier two guys, and I'm not going to do everybody, but just because I think we know that he's going to move up, Caleb Williams, but just how high. Tier two last year, Jaden Daniels, Justin Herbert, Jared Goff, CJ Stroud, Jalen Hurts, Baker Mayfield, Dak Prescott, Jordan Love, and Brock Purdy. So the question is Potsy, is Caleb Williams in the category now of a Jalen Hurts, a Baker Mayfield, and Dak Prescott? Because I think that's the level that you need to start to talk about. He's not Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Jackson, or Stafford. He's just not yet. He could get there, but he's more Hurts, Mayfield, Prescott, even Jaden Daniels, if you believe that last year was just an aberration because of the injuries. Yeah. How high up this list, or just your list, do you think that Caleb Williams can jump going into next year the way he is perceived around the league?
Yeah, well, Mark, when you give me the names like that, I would say I'm not as confident that he'll be in tier. He'll ever be in tier one based after last year. I just feel like his accuracy issues are going to, unless he, I always say, I've said this many, probably last time I was on with you guys, is the one big goal that they did not achieve, though they missed by a lot, was the 70% completions. It was 58.1,
right? Yeah.
Way off. And that's unusual for Ben Johnson to miss that much. You know, he's pretty good. So to me, that's a red flag that he may never get there. And this is the year, again, I've made this point as well, this is the year that the Josh Allen comp is fixed. This is the year that Josh Allen made the big jump. This is the
final
year where he made that jump to 65, 66, whatever it was. And he's got to do that. So anyway, I guess my point was, without the accuracy, I don't think he's going to be able to reach the top level. But absolutely, if he's not in that second level by the end of next year, something's wrong when you mention those names. It's just he needs, with Ben Johnson, with what Caleb did this year, with the potential, with so many people back except for Dahlman, I guess. He should be in. He's absolutely should be. And that, again, it goes back to the same thing: hope versus expectation. This is not like hoping Mitch Trubisky can jump into that level or Justin Fields. No, it's an expectation based on performance that he will get there. And I really feel that should be the expectation for 2026. It's to me, it's he's not that far away. He should, you know, like I said, I expect that to happen just based on. And what he is. But again, the whole accuracy thing, I just want to see that needs to improve a lot for him to not have to. That's what's preventing him from being good enough early to not need those desperation comebacks that are his forte. That's what he's good at. But that kind of can blind you a little bit to some of the bigger issues and big picture. He's got to be better when it's 0-0 and or early in game, so you don't have to respond to that. So to answer your question, not so certain that his ceiling is tier one, but absolutely expecting him to be in tier two by this time next year.
Would you put? I love this class of quarterbacks, man. It's great. I always compare it to the Dunkin' Donuts race at the United Center, where you think you know which one's going to win. It's like you got Biggie Bagels winning. All here comes cup of coffee, and like it's like your pick is never right. One keeps it was all Jaden Daniels last year, and the Bears blew it with Caleb Williams, and then right. Caleb Williams' car starts to go a little ahead, and look at Bo Nix. He was way behind. And all of a sudden, wow, Bo Nix is leading teams to the playoffs and winning playoff games. Oh, Drake May, where did you come from? 4,394 yards last year. He could move into the elite category. And whoa, what happened? They're replacing Michael Penix already? What's going on? That quarterback class is something to see. I can't call it right now on where it ends. I don't know if you have a better idea, if you're sure of anything, other than I think that Michael Penix may drop out of the race.
Yeah, well, the shame actually is that I'm more interested in the donut race than the Bulls games. That's why I probably wouldn't have even gotten that reference 20 years ago.
They beat Houston, man.
I never even knew it existed. Now I wait for it. I anticipate it. But anyway, that is interesting. And even like Drake May, who's number one now based on leading the league, and again the opposite, leading the league in completion percentage. He was similar to Caleb in that he wasn't very good against. He was at his best against the teams that weren't as good, weren't that good. He when he had the wind at his back, he was good, and not so much in against teams that could rush the passer. So I'm not as sold on him. Let's put it this way. I think a lot of people are going to be looking for the Bears to pick the Bears as a team to kind of falter because they won so many close games, late last year. They had so many miracle finishes. I think they'll be pegged as a team that might take, do the opposite of what in Chicago people are expecting. But
step back team, like a candidate.
I think that New England is behind or is ahead of the Bears as far as that, they're even more susceptible to that because Drake May, I liked him all year. I thought, he was good. But when I looked at the big picture and what he was doing, I agree with Bears fans who say they'll take Caleb and take their chance. I'm not saying for sure the Caleb will be better or is better. He's not right now. But even I guess what I'm saying is as that Dunkin' Donuts race goes and guys go back and forth and yo-yo and stuff like that, I think the Bears have to like what they've got in Caleb as potentially being either one or 1A. Depending on how Drake May, if he ends up, or Bo Nix, I'm not as sold on him.
JJ McCarthy sure took a step back, huh?
Right, and again, yes, right. I mean, the way he beat the Bears in the opener, you thought, wow, that's exactly what you want. That was so distressing for Bears fans because that's exactly what the Bears needed, and he was beating the Bears. But anyway, I think Caleb, I think he is still one or 1A going into 2026 in that class. Just because of the potential, because he's got the hard part down, which is making those unbelievable throws in crunch time in critical times. That's the part that you can't really teach. The part you can teach is what he needs to do better. The part that Jared Goff had had mastered in Detroit and made him so effective. But on the other hand, I also say that doesn't mean he's going to do it. Just because it seems relative to what else he does that it's the easy part, that doesn't mean it's going to happen. Sometimes guys just can't, whether it's a footwork thing, mechanics, fundamentals, whatever, they just don't have it to be as accurate and as good with the easy part. You know, to be effective overall. So we'll see. But I guess to answer your question, I think usually you say, oh, Bears fans are just being homers by thinking, oh, they'll take Caleb. But I agree with them. I'm on board with that.
I've gotten there. Yeah.
If I had to pick one quarterback or the other, especially in Ben Johnson's system, I'll take my chances with Caleb because the downside is still a quarterback who can win a playoff game.
Yeah,
it's not like Trubisky or Fields where the downside was you have no quarterback.
I'm completely comfortable saying that the ceiling is the highest for Caleb. Yes. I mean, come on. Yeah. The arm, and that is not to disparage Drake May, who is outstanding.
No, he was great. But there, well, I did notice, though, that against teams that could apply pressure against, you know, when the wind wasn't necessarily at his back, he was not the MVP of the league. He was not an MVP candidate quarterback.
Right. He gets exposed at times.
Not to disparage him, but that's just what I saw.
The truth.
President Barack Obama.
Virginia. We are counting on you. Republicans want to steal enough seats in Congress to rig the next election and wield unchecked power for two more years. But you can stop them by voting yes by April 21st. Help put our elections back on a level playing field and let voters decide, not politicians. Vote yes by April 21st.
Paid for by Virginians for Fair Elections.
I'm Mark Sullinger, producer and one of the hosts of The Moth Podcast. For nearly two decades, The Moth has brought live storytelling to stages around the world and to millions of listeners. These are real people telling true stories from their lives. Stories about a lost family recipe, about working to free a wrongfully convicted man, about realizing you need to leave your May-December romance. Stories that will move you, surprise you, make you laugh. Stories you can't forget. Join us. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
So good, so good, so good.
Spring styles are at Nordstrom Rack stores now, and they're up to 60% off. Stock up and save on Rag & Bone, Madewell, Vince, All Saints, and more of your favorites.
How did I not know Rack has Adidas?
Why do we rack? For the hottest deals.
Just so many good brands.
Join the Nordy Club to unlock exclusive discounts, shop new arrivals first, and more. Plus, buy online and pick up at your favorite Rack store for free. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Protein is now at Starbucks, and it's never tasted so good. You can add protein cold foam to your favorite drink or try one of our new protein lattes or matcha. Try it today at Starbucks.
Last topic I want to discuss with you is, because in the name of Caleb, is his offensive line this year. And we hit it on a little bit with Drew, and we haven't talked to you since Drew Dahlman or any of the free agency. It's been a little while here, but Garrett Bradbury is the new center. The reviews are mixed as can be on Garrett Bradbury. I am positive he is not as good as Drew Dahlman, but we gave so much credit to Dahlman for the steadiness of Caleb Williams this year. Now, Joe Tooney, the right guard, whose name is escaping, Jonah Jackson, like, they get tons of credit too. Darnell Wright was outstanding, but the position right now, are we comfortable, because they got away with the left tackle sort of rotation and just overcompensating at times last year. Braxton Jones is back with the Bears this year. We know that Trapillo is out for the majority of the season. Theo Benedet is still there. And then, of course, you have Jedrick Wills Jr. in the competition. So we're up to four guys already. We're doing this again. And Dan and I laugh about it, but I want to know your thoughts. Are the Bears cocky enough, good enough with Dan Roschar and Ben Johnson to patchwork the left tackle position, which sounds ridiculous to say this early, even before training camp?
Yeah, I think they are, and I think Trapillo, the way they handled Trapillo last year, the way he came along, I think that is evidence that Ben Johnson, his strength is not just that he's a kind of an offensive mastermind, but that he truly believes in the running game as the foundation of your offense, and B, truly has hands on with the offensive line as the key to your running game. I mean, he's really I heard Dan Roschar on a podcast or with some agents or something. I can't remember who it was last week.
Yeah, I know you're talking about. Yeah,
he was talking about how Ben Johnson, how he's kind of, I don't know if hands on is the way, but his just interest in it, and I think to me that's evidence that they not only think they can solve it, but I think that they can handle, especially with Trpillo coming back at the end of the season for whatever it is. And, you know, just, I mean, look at it this way. With Theo Benedict, they were 6-1 with Theo Benedict, led the league in rushing in his 7 starts, were like 6th in pass protection in his 7 starts. And he's like not even the main consideration. That's a guy that you won with. You know, it's, offensive line is like a team within a team. That's supposed to be where you're only as strong as your weakest link. And they weren't that weak with him, with Theo Benedict replacing Braxton Jones. So if they could do that, you know, the funny thing is I could see it at the playoff game why they lost faith in him, because he was rusty. He came back, he was rusty. He faced Aiden Hutchinson, got beat bad, and they couldn't trust him. But boy, they're not even like, he's not even like first in line. I don't think he is. He's not even like first in line. He was not the first name they mentioned as a guy. Oh yeah, we've got Theo Benedict, even though they did more than well enough with him. So I guess I'd be curious. I wasn't there to be able to ask questions. I'd say, you know, why did they not have faith in Theo Benedict? But anyway, that's another point. The general point is that I think I'm buying, you know, I'm a sucker for any scenario or narrative that sounds good. And Braxton Jones being better, fully healthy as opposed to last year when he wasn't, that makes sense to me. That's the thing I usually buy, and then I say, I'm kicking myself. What was I thinking? You know, but I'll tell you, with this team though, I'm more likely to think, yeah, there's a chance that he could be good. Only that he could work, only because it worked with Theo Benedict last year. I mean, that did not hurt their offense.
They pulled it off.
So, and also the way they handled Trpillo, I thought that was underrated, because I was very critical of that. Not only did they draft a guy, whatever he was, second round, and he failed, you know, to be the starting left tackle. And not only did he fail, but they moved him his position. You know, they moved him to right tackle. And the question was, look, you know, how is he, you know, how's he going to become, where's he going to play? I mean, he technically at the start of last year, he was playing behind a guy who's going to be there for 10 years. It didn't make sense, but right. I got to give Ben Johnson credit. That was great player development, because when Trpillo came back, he worked at whatever, I don't know what his practice regimen was when he came back and he replaced Benedict. Was that for injury, or it might have been one of those both. Whatever it was. But anyway,
yeah,
he was pretty good. I mean, he was back to this could be your left tackle for the next 10 years or whatever. And I'm not saying he was that great, but I mean, he was better than he was at the beginning of the year. So anyway, they developed him. I thought that was good player development. And to me, that's an illustration, that's an indication that of why things work out, why almost every single player in that offense maxes out, with the exception of T.J. Moore. I mean, what happened there. But
for whatever reason, he was
productive. He made some huge catches. But anyway, to me, the whole left tackle situation, I would normally be dubious of that, because it never, you know.
I like that you're not too jaded. I like that you're as none.
But I think the way they develop players gives me faith in Ben Johnson that he will make it work. He made it work with Theo Benedict in year one, like I said. You know, they led the league in rushing. They were 6-1. They were, you know, it was not a major issue. And if he can do that, then Braxton Jones, Theo Benedict, and eventually Ozzie Trpillo, I think they can handle it again. Now the question will be at the end of next year is, now do they have their guy? But that's a totally different conversation, but I think they can survive to get to that point. Whereas in previous years, you'd say, you know, it could
you're screwed.
Kill their offense. Yeah.
Yeah.
The indication is it will not hurt their offense. You know.
Yeah, I like that, and having Joe Tooney on that offensive line.
Yeah, I just
sure
like the way they develop players.
Yeah.
I like the way Ben Johnson develops players.
Luther Luther Burden, Colston Loveland. You can make the case for Kyle Manungai. Yeah. Like you're right. You're right. He develops.
They weren't sensations, but they were just productive. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's, you know, to me, that's a good sign. That's why I say everything. Every time you ask about the Bears, I'd say it's Ben Johnson.
It's such
Ben
a fail Johnson. Safe. It really Ben is. Johnson. It's thank it's, God. Thank God.
He's,
thank
he's
God.
The best thing they got going. I always say this, you know, that he has not been consumed by the dysfunction at Hal's Hall, which still exists. If you're trying looking for a stadium or whatever. But anyway, he has been his own guy and been a different guy. I think that is that's the best thing the Bears have going. And so I think that's why I have a lot of faith that where I would be skeptical before, I'm more optimistic now because he's proven it. And the other guys had not, Matt Nagy had not proven it. Even Trestman had not proven it. This guy has. So I have faith in him. And I think that's a reason for optimism. You know, I picked the Bears in my first and 10, the last one of the year. I always pick the next year's record. When I do the last one is always their, you know, prediction of how the season's going to go. And I had the Bears, I think 11-6, which is what they were this year. I thought, well, that sounds kind of weird, but they could take a step back and still have the same record against tougher competition. I mean, you know, who knows, but we'll see.
Where can we read more things like that? If we want more Mark Potash, tell us everything about you, Mark Potash.
Well, I'm writing for my, I have a website, markpotash.net, that I wrote throughout the year, but just taking a little break from it in the off season.
Oh, it's okay. But
whenever something is up, especially like as the draft, for the draft and the off season stuff, I'll definitely be writing again. And then when the season starts up, I'm going to try and do it as much as I can full time.
Awesome.
As much as time allows. So yeah, that's great. That's where you get all my kind of bad takes.
Well, it's wonderful as always to talk to you. You do a great job of filling in for our guy, Dan Wiederer, who if he was on, you guys would just be fighting about college basketball. So I'm glad that I can keep you two separated for now.
No, we're both Illinois. We're both Illinois guys, but
okay.
I didn't go to Illinois, but I still root for the Illini. So
same, so, man. I'm a whole I went to Illinois State. Illinois, DePaul were my teams growing up. DePaul was as you two number one with a bullet, but I always have rooted for Illinois, and they look they can beat Houston, right?
I don't know. We'll see. It's funny you mentioned that. I always say, like, the Illinois fan base is insufferable, but they also have the most right to be insufferable. They've had a lot of – because we went back, like, when we're I think I tweeted out that Illinois at one point in that game had 15 free throws to none for whoever they were playing in their sweet six – in their round of 32 game. Who were they playing?
What, you talking about this year?
Yeah, this year.
Oh, it was Virginia Commonwealth.
Yeah, VCU. Right, yeah. Right. And hey, Illinois has never gotten that kind of edge ever. Illinois is always, point. You know, in all these games, you know, Arizona in 2001 in the national championship game and Washington. And the Dickie Beal travel in 84, some of the old timers.
Oh, man. That.
They've never gotten a good shake. So anyway, my point is, they complain a lot. This is an outside opinion. I didn't go to Illinois, but they also have a lot to go. They have a lot of making up. There's a lot of the basketball gods have a lot of making up to do for Illinois. So, not feeling great about.
All right.
Underwood's teams are good, but for some reason, when it becomes a chess match, I don't know.
Well, he's the best thing that's happened really to them in a long time, man. I mean, they went 8 years without making the tournament. Some of that was on Underwood's watch, but it was his predecessors, you know, John Gross, and the end of the Bruce Weber era wasn't particularly pretty, you know, taking over for Bill Self. And so, like, you think about it, there hasn't been really, relatively speaking, many great head coaches in Illinois history. Everybody loves Lou Henson, but he made famously the Final Four in 1989, but he didn't win a whole lot either, but he was definitely that guy that was most identified with the Illini.
Yeah, and Underwood's one of those coaches who can build. He knows how to build a team, but you know, can he finish? Can he?
Yeah,
can,
that's
can
it.
Can he win the game? You're kind of not favored to win, like right. Hit the wall against UConn the 1 year when they had a really good team.
That was the Elite Eight year. Together. Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting thing. I would not be betting on them because I think Houston's really good. But I'll tell you though, if they do win that game, they could win it all because they.
Oh yeah, that's the one, man.
Nebraska, Iowa, and I'm not that would be a gimme, but that certainly
winnable.
That wouldn't be like facing Florida. So
yeah.
So anyway, yeah, no, good luck to Illinois. I think they've got a good chance, especially.
I'm on the bandwagon. Mark, thanks so much.
I'm with Dan on that. So Dan and I are we fight about a lot of other things.
It's all in good fun, and you guys are both feisty, and that's why I like working with both of you guys.
Yes.
Thanks to everybody for listening to and watching the Take the North podcast. For Dan Wiederer, for Adam Stadzinski, our executive producer, and of course for our guy Mark Podash, thank you again for listening to the Take the North podcast.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.
The Bleacher Report app is your destination for sports. Right now, the NBA is heating up, March Madness is here, and MLB is almost back. Every day there's a new headline, a new highlight, a new moment you've got to see for yourself. That's why I stay locked in with the Bleacher Report app. For me, it's about staying connected to my sports. I can follow the teams I care about, get real-time scores, breaking news, and highlights all in one place. Download the Bleacher Report app today so you never miss a moment.
On Aspire with Emma Greed, we talk about mindset, ambition, and the work that actually moves the needle. Listen to Aspire with Emma Greed, available where you get your podcasts.